Good morning. Welcome, Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's host, the host he's provided for us to come to worship and to praise him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
When our life is empty, we are vulnerable for anything and anyone to enter. However, if it is occupied with good, then the devil cannot come in. Or at least it's more difficult for him to come in. If we are engaged in godly activities such as worship and praise and service to others and prayer, it's less likely that the devil will become a part of our life. But each of us is tempted by something. If you're never tempted to sin, then it's possible the devil already has you in his grasp. Reflect on that for a moment. Maybe we are not tempted to sin because sin is already a part of our life. We need to examine ourselves, reflect upon how we act each and every day, and decide if we're being tempted by sin, and if we decide we're not, is it because we're already engaged in sin? In his letter to the church at Ephesus, Paul wrote, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." You were dead in your sins. Well, about whom is Paul speaking? He is addressing all who never believed in and who never trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. At one time, we were all dead to sin because we lived according to our fleshly desires. We lived according to the ways of the world. We lived according to the dictates of the devil, who is at work in this world. Even if we have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, we are still tempted to sin. So let's not get confused with the fact that accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior is going to shield us from ever being tempted again by the devil. We know from God's word that Jesus himself was tempted in the desert, was tempted to sin by the devil. So don't think we are any better than Jesus. We're just a much easier target than he was, and the devil is going to tempt us, to try to lead us away from God. What must we do when we are tempted to sin? What can we do? And to learn the answer, I want us to turn to our text this morning, James chapter 1, verses 13 through 18. And I invite you to follow along in your Bible as I read James 1, 13 through 18. When tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me." For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Do not be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. May God add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of his word. Our text teaches us to do the following when we are tempted to sin. Number one, when tempted to sin, do not blame God. Number two, when tempted to sin, blame yourself. And number three, when tempted to sin, look to heaven. Let's look at these three in more detail very briefly. Number one, when tempted to sin, do not blame God. Verse 13 of our text, which I just read, states, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. You know, we are so adept at playing this blame game. And as I was thinking about our sermon for this week and working on it, I started hearing all this news about Paula Deen, y'all, and all of her teaching us how to eat bad food and all this. And now, boy, they've got a whipping boy to blame. They've got a scapegoat for all the people that are overweight, that eat too much, that like cake and like fried food. It's all Paula Deen's fault. You know, if she hadn't been on TV, nobody would have diabetes, nobody would be obese, nobody would have high blood pressure. And I thought about that, how adept, how easy it is for us to blame someone. Remember, it began with Adam and Eve. Adam said, Eve made me eat the fruit. Eve said, the serpent led me into my transgression. It's always easier to blame someone else for our failures and our sins than it is to accept responsibility for ourselves. And it's so easy to blame God. If God hadn't created me like this, I wouldn't be obese. You know, I'm big boned, you know. My thyroid doesn't work properly because that's the way I was created. We can think of a myriad of excuses, but this attitude is certainly opposite of someone that we've studied in the Bible, someone that we've studied in Bible study, and that someone is Job. In Job 1, chapter 22, we read, in all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. In all of his woes and troubles, even when his 10 children were killed by a storm, Job did not blame God. Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. To blame God for our misfortune and our troubles is, and it's certainly not the teachings of the Bible. God cannot be tempted to sin. Temptation holds no power over him, and likewise, he does not tempt us to sin. Well, if these statements are true, why are we tempted to sin? Well, I think it's obvious that we live in a world that is extremely sinful. It's a broken world. But it was God that did not break the world. It was man who did so. Consequently, there will always be temptation to sin. Fallen man and his sinful nature are responsible for this sinful world. Sin is not God's fault. Number two, our text teaches us that when tempted to sin, blame ourselves. Verses 14 and 15 state, but each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. We are all tempted by our evil desires. Everyone, from Billy Graham on down, from the most renowned Christian preachers and teachers and scholars, we are all tempted by evil desires. And usually we think of sexual lust and alcohol and drugs and adultery and stealing and lying as the types of activities that tempt us into sin. Yet there are temptations to sin which may not seem so apparent. Number one is blaming God for our misfortunes, charging Him with our problems. Also, there are people who are tempted by stuff. And this doesn't apply to Connie, so I don't want to have to deal with her going all the way home. These people may be mindful of their weakness and they need to avoid stuff when they're very vulnerable. You know, when they may be depressed, when they may be disappointed in something that's happened. But they see things and they've got to have it. They've got to purchase it, whether they need it or not, whether they can afford it or not. So they purchase the item, and then the problem of our want can quickly turn into the problem of idol worship. And the next thing you know, we desire stuff more than we desire to know God and to please Him and to serve Him. And this is sin. It's 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Most of our temptations that we face in this life come from lust for sexual pleasure, lust for things pleasing to the eye, material possessions, and three, pride of being appreciated, praised, or glorified. If there is anything regarding our lives, our talents, whatever we possess, if there's anything about those gifts that appear good or great, it is because they are a gift from God. It's not because of anything we have accomplished. God alone deserves the glory. And third, our text tells us that when tempted to sin, we need to look to heaven. Verses 16 through 18 tells us, "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we may be a kind of first fruits of all He created." We need to look to heaven and recognize God has given us every good and perfect gift. And we likewise need to look to heaven and realize God is the way out of temptation to sin. And how do we know this? Because God's word tells us. And if we are believers, we believe in God's word. And Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, wrote, "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. God is our way out. God is our salvation. God will help us overcome any temptation, regardless of how strong it may seem, how enticing it may be, how much the devil has sugarcoated it and put sparkle and glitter on it to make it attractive. If we but cling to God and ask him for help, he will not let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. There was a young boy trying to save enough money for a baseball bat, and it was extremely difficult. And one night his mom heard him praying fervently, and he said, "Oh Lord, please let me save enough money to buy a baseball bat. And God, don't let the ice cream man come down this street." Maybe we need to say a prayer like that occasionally. Lord, keep me away from so-and-so, and Lord, keep so-and-so away from me. That could be a person, that could be an object, that could be a possession, that could be anything. It could be some worldly activity that we need to stay away from. John Chrysostom, who lived from 347 to 407, was called the early church's greatest preacher. And he was arrested by Emperor Arcadius on trumped-up charges of heresy. And the emperor told his guards, said, "Throw him in the prison and leave him there until I give the word to bring him to me." And the guard said, "He will be glad to go, emperor, for he delights in the presence of his God in silence." So the emperor said, "Well, execute him then." "He will be glad to die," responded the God. "He desires to go to heaven. I heard him say so just the other day." There's only one thing that can give Chrysostom pain, and that is to make him sin. He is afraid of nothing but sin. If you, emperor, can make him sin, you will certainly make him unhappy. If we can make a person sin, if we can lead a person into sin, we may do more than make him or her unhappy. We may well send his or her soul to hell. We need to reflect on that. We need to reflect on that, of course, for our own well-being, but we also need to remember someone is watching us. A family member, a friend, someone you may not even know, but who looks up to you, holds you in esteem. Someone is watching us. And if we lead him or her into sin, then we will have that on our heart, that we possibly led them on the track to hell. We must do all within our power to keep from giving in to temptation, to sin, and we must help others to resist succumbing to temptation. And if you are a child of God, if you've accepted him as Lord and Savior, if you said, "I want the gift of salvation," but you find yourself more and more giving in to the temptation that the devil puts in front of you, if you find it's easier every day for him to drag you back into his fold, albeit maybe for a short time, several hours, maybe a day or two, then you need to get down on your knees and ask God to strengthen you, to give you the wherewithal, to give you the willpower to resist those temptations. And if you have not accepted God, God's gift of salvation through his son Jesus by accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. What a day to do that. What a day to do that. And then you've got on your side the only one that can help you resist the temptation and turn your back on the devil's tricks and all the things he tries to get us to do. And we invite you to accept Christ as your Savior this morning as we sing a hymn of invitation, number 287. We invite you to stand as we sing.